We now bring to these microphones David James. David is traveling in Africa, and we've come together for our weekly conversation. We look at an issue that is confronting the body of Christ. We look at it from a biblical perspective so that you may understand how to grasp an understanding of the issue, what God's Word says about it, and that'll assist you in your walk with the Lord each and every week. Now, last week we connected with David. He was in Uganda. This week he's in Ethiopia doing a conference. David, I believe this is for the second time in less than a year you're there in Ethiopia.
Well, that's right, Jimmy. I was here last July speaking at a conference, and that was the very first event that Word of Life had ever done in the country. The Word of Life Ethiopia director was one of my students in Uganda when the Bible Institute opened there 5 years ago. I was the first guest teacher there. And then a couple of years ago, his wife and his brother-in-law were my students in Uganda as well. And the conference is already well underway, and we've got our first day behind us, and we had over 30 in attendance, and I'm sharing the platform with two pastors who were here with me last summer as well, Daniel Geffrick, who is a pastor from South Bend, Indiana, and Don Trest, who is from Past Christiane, Mississippi, and all of three of us were contributing authors to the book, What is Dispensationalism, and we've really enjoyed getting to know one another and serving the Lord together in different places, and especially to help get Word of Life Ethiopia off the ground. And we have 10 hours for our sessions. I'm teaching God's Plan Through the Ages for the third time just this year. And Daniel Geffrick is teaching Principles of Bible Interpretation, and Don Trest is teaching Principles of Evangelism. And also, the Word of Life Africa Regional Director, John Page, is with us, and I've known him for a long time, as his dad was the Executive Dean of the Bible Institute in New York when I started my ministry as the Dean of Men there some 32 years ago.
Well, John Page, a name out of the past for me as well. If you will, give our greetings from the DeYoung family to John. Sure do love that brother. He's a great missionary there in Africa, I believe in South Africa at this time. Well, a few weeks ago, one of the current topics that we thought about discussing, David, was Disney's newest children's cartoon, and it's called The Owl, O-W-L, The Owl House. So this week, I wanted to go ahead and talk about it because I do think it's still very important.
You're right, Jimmy, and The Owl House is the Disney Channel's newest children's cartoon that premiered just a few weeks ago, and it was already renewed for a second season even before the first season began. Now, the main central character is a teenage girl who was sent to a reality check camp, which is a sort of a boot camp for troubled teens because of bad behavior. And instead of making it to the camp, she stumbles through a portal into another world called the Boiling Isles, which are the remains of a dead Titan. Now, that's really strange. In ancient Greek mythology, the Titans were gods who came before the Olympian gods like Zeus and Hera. And it's here in this place that the girl encounters two of the other main characters, one a rebellious witch named Ida the Owl Lady, with the other being a little demon who describes himself as the king of the demons and whom a promotional material describes as an adorable tiny warrior. So the series centers around the adventures of this human teenager in this demonic realm where she's the witch's apprentice and learns from her and this little demon about how to acquire and use magic to fulfill her dream of becoming a witch. And, you know, Jimmy, I'm not against fiction or even fantasy per se, but I would say that normalizing interaction with witches and demons and the occult as just being innocent fun for kids, that's just going way too far in my opinion, and it's really all quite disturbing, especially as a children's cartoon.
And David, what you've just told us to this moment is indeed very, very disturbing. You sent me a link to the official trailer for The Owl House. That definitely gave a glimpse into what this cartoon series is going to be like. And my guess is that most of our listeners may not even be aware of it. So, David, can you take a moment and share with us some of your impressions on the trailer, for example?
Well, Jimmy, first I'd say that the drawing and animation work has really high production values with some very talented artists on board. You know, I grew up on Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner, so that probably dates me, but I think the artwork of the Owl's House is somewhat reminiscent of the older cartoons while feeling fresh, and I think it will appeal to a broad range of kids. But I think this also represents part of the danger as well, because even though many of the themes and characters are dark and scary at one level, the writers and artists have kept it somewhat bright and cheerful to take some of the edge off of it. And it's even billed as a fantasy comedy. And the trailer starts out with the main character saying this: "So this one day I found a portal and ended up someplace I could never have imagined. Okay, well, I totally have imagined it, but this is even better." Then she says, "This is the Boiling Isles, and it's amazing. The kind of place you just want to wake up every day and say, good morning, terrifying fantasy world." Then she goes on to say, "The Owl House is where I live, and I live with this other person and the king of demons," to which she responds to this little demon, she says, "And he's a real cutie pie." Then she talks about Ida the Owl Lady, who is the most powerful witch on the Boiling Isles, and she says, "Someday I'm going to be just like her."
Wow. That is, again, more information, but still as shocking and disturbing. Earlier you said that one of your concerns was that the cartoon normalizes interaction with demons as being just innocent fun for the kids. Now, this seems like something that needs to be taken more seriously than just that.
Well, I agree, Jimmy. You know, this is not something to be played around with. First of all, demons are not cute, cuddly animals as depicted in the Owl's House, where King, which is the demon's name, basically looks like a sort of chubby gray fox who's wearing a mask. You know, demons are fallen angels whose king is Satan, the highest fallen angel, who has declared as his ultimate and single-minded goal to overthrow God himself, as recorded in Isaiah 14, where we read these words about his rebellion. God says, "You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And then we find in Revelation 12 that a third of all the angels that God created joined Satan in that rebellion. And we read in Genesis chapter 6 that some of those fallen angels tried to corrupt the human race through taking human wives. And I would say that this was to prevent the coming of the Messiah who was to be born of a fully human woman. And in the New Testament, Jesus and the apostles regularly confronted demons, and they were destroying people's lives through physical ailments and diseases and by causing people to seriously harm themselves. And you know, the final destiny of all demons, including Satan, is that they will be cast into the lake of fire forever.
I think, David, a similar warning would apply to making it seem like innocent fun for someone to try to be a witch and learning the occult practices of magic, for example, like conjuring or casting spells.
There's no doubt about it, Jimmy. In a Newsweek article about this series, the Owl House creator, a lady named Dana Terrace, said, "It's a demon world, so we can do whatever we want." And she went on to say, "I just do what I want and let Disney tell me if I'm going too far. I'm always trying to push them to go a little bit darker and weirder because I find that stuff fun." And this Newsweek article also notes that the writers' room for the show is full of books on witchcraft, witches, and spells to take inspiration from. And the author of a different article, one that's in an upcoming issue of The Atlantic, says this, and the title of that article is "Why is Witchcraft on the Rise?" And in the article it says this: "Casting spells and assembling altars have become quite lucrative. You can attend a full equinox ritual organized by Airbnb, sign up for a subscription of witch boxes offering the equivalent of Blue Apron for magic making and buy aura cleanses on Etsy. And later she writes, the latest witch renaissance coincides with a growing fascination with astrology, crystals, and tarot, which, like magic practitioners, consider ways to tap into unseen, unconventional sources of power. And all these things, Jimmy, are explicitly forbidden by God, and those who practice them will face God's wrath and judgment. This isn't innocent fun, but it is the direction that society is headed as we move deeper into the last days. It's a time when good is being called evil, and evil is being called good.
And that is a perfect description of the last days. David, what would you say are some things that we need to be aware of concerning God's view of the events and activities and production of these children's cartoons, especially for those who may be thinking, we're just taking this too seriously?
Well, as a parent and a grandparent myself, several things come to mind. The first is that our most important ministry in both evangelism and discipleship is our ministry to our family. You know, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And while there are no guarantees, everyone must make their own choices. This is an important principle concerning raising our children. And remember this, King Saul lost his life because he went to a witch or a necromancer. A necromancer is someone who engages in the occult practice of conjuring up and communicating with the dead. And in discussing sinful lifestyles, Paul says in Ephesians 5, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, the context isn't exactly about what the owl house involves, but I think that Paul's point applies. And finally, in Revelation 22, concerning the New Jerusalem in eternity future, John wrote, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. And that word translated as sorcerers, you could translate it as someone who makes potions. And those involved with the owl house are practicing a lie. So it would be difficult to overstate just how serious this really is.
I'm so glad we were able to finally get around to having this discussion on the Disney production for children, a cartoon. This is pretty shocking information. Folks, you may want to go back and re-listen to it. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com, then Prophecy Today Radio Network, PTRN. There it will be archived. You can listen or send the link along to someone else who may need to hear what David and I had to say today. David, thank you so much. We are going to be praying for your ministry there in Ethiopia with your two pastor buddies. And may God just bless as you work and build into the lives of those Ethiopian men and women who need to learn the truth from God's word. We'll be praying for you. Be sure to give our love to John Page as well. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Once again, great to be with you.
We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side of the break, I'll have a look at the book. We'll take God's word, see what it says about the issues we've discussed today here on Prophecy Today Weekend. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.